our generation that we live in has a wrong perception of the subject that I'm going to talk about this morning, as they do most subjects. It's got it all wrong. And everything we look at, we need to look at it through the telescope of Scripture and see what the Bible has to say about it. Every issue of your life, we need to see what the Bible has to say about it. And many times we're too interested in what Brother So-and-so thinks, or Sister Somebody said, or Dr. So-and-so said in his book. And the main concern ought to be what God said in His Word. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 this morning, I'll read you a verse of Scripture. And it's verse number 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 19. This is man under the sun, a man with just temporal things in mind. Said, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. And I want to preach you a sermon on money this morning. And usually when a preacher preaches about on money, they say, oh no, he's going to try to get us to give money. That's not what I'm doing today. I'm going to bring you a Bible message on what there's three things that the Bible teaches us about money. And I'm sure you'll be interested in this. Our economy and the shape it's in. The world saying that money makes the world go round. The verse that I read to you, I'm sure that's where the old saying comes from, money talks. And I want to say three things about it this morning. I'm going to talk about the language of money. Secondly, I'm going to talk about the love of money. And then finally, I'll talk about the limitations of money. Now that limitations of money is what a lot of people don't understand. People think that money will do anything in our generation. And a man that believes money will do anything will most likely do anything for money. What a subject. 138 times in the Bible. It's even called the Almighty Dollar nowadays. All some people think about is an obsessive desire with money. You can take this right here tonight, this morning, which is a dollar bill, and I can put it right there, and everybody in this building gets a certain feeling when you look at it. If I just had that and just threw it down on the carpet, there's not a person in here that wouldn't just... It just does something to you. It's only a piece of paper, but it's powerful, isn't it? It's very powerful. They say some people have wake up with dollar signs in their eyes of the morning when they wake up. And it's very easily to become obsessed with the idea of making money. And John touched on that a little bit in the Sunday school lesson this morning. But somebody said this, and I'll read it and then bring you the message. Dug from the mountainside or washed in the glen, servant am I or master of men. Earn me, I bless you. Steal me, I curse you. Grasp me and hold me, and evil shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me, covet me, take me. Angel or devil, I'm just what you make of me. That sums it up, what I want to say about money this morning. And the first thing I want to talk about is the language of money. Did you know that money talks? I'm sure everybody's aware of that. You've seen the old movies where the guy's not willing to sell the land, the property, and then the fella comes in and lays down a big wad of money on the table and he says, sold, you know, like that. That's what money will do. It can open doors. It can cause all kinds of things to happen. One fella said, money talks. Mine talks. Soon as I get a hold of it, it says bye-bye. That's the way most of ours is a lot of times. Then somebody else said that money talks, but it don't stay around long enough to hold a good conversation. That may be true in your life too. But money does talk. In John chapter 2, you don't have to turn to it, but in John chapter 2 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the temple in His day. And the Bible said they had a bunch of tables set up in there, and they had literally turned the worship house of God into a second-rate flea market. And you got to be real careful not to do that. I have been to meetings and things where you wonder if you are at a flea market or at church. And the Lord, they were selling things, and they were selling doves, and they had birds in cages, and they had sheep and oxen and all that. And Jesus Christ went in the temple, and that money started talking. And the Lord, of course, went over, and He took those tables and threw them over. He took a scourge and drove them out of the temple. And He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer. Make not My house a house of merchandise." Now, let me say something this morning, folks. Everybody knows it is scriptural, it is right, it is holy, it is proper, it is good to receive tithes and offerings. It always has been God's plan to finance His work that way. But religious people have to be very careful, and churches have to be very careful that you don't revolve around money. It's wrong. It's not right. Money's not the issue. Money's not the main thing. Jesus Christ and getting this gospel out is the main thing in this world. And nothing is more important than that. Somebody said there was a sign on an antique shop, and it said, "English spoken, French understood, cash understood." And that's true. That's the only language some people do understand. Money can be a blessing if it is rightly used. The best way to use your money is invested in God's work. Build churches, buy buses, give it to missionaries, put a missionary on the field, help somebody get the gospel out, and you'll get returns forever and ever and ever. You remember that story the Lord told one time? And the Lord told this story, and He said there was a man, and he left these talents. Now, we have translated that into being able to sing and play an instrument, but that word talent in the New Testament actually means an amount of money. And the Lord left him a certain amount of money, and He said, "I'm going to leave this some 10 pounds, and I'm going to leave this some 5 pounds, and I'm going to leave this one." And He said, "Now you go and take care of that and work on it until I get back." He came back, and the first one said, "I've gained 10 pounds." He said, "You've done good." The second one said, "I've gained 20 pounds. He said, "You've done good." And the third one said, "Lord, I just went and hid it and buried it, and I just didn't want to mess with it." And the Lord rebuked him, and He said, "You're a lazy servant," because he did not use his money right. We are accountable to God for how we use our money. We're going to be accountable to God to how we spend our money and where our money goes. Some people spend half their life trying to get money from other people, and the other half of their life trying to keep all the other people from getting it back from them. The language of money is, it's not going to stay with you long, and it's not going to go with you when you leave. The language of money is, if you use me right, I'll bless you. If you use me wrong, I'll curse you. That's the language of money. Second this morning, let me talk about the love of money. Now, if you have the right Bible, your King James Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, preachers always preach that down through the years, that the love of money was the root of all evil, until the modern versions of the Bible came out, which say the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And there, of course, is a very big difference. A root of all kinds means there's a bunch of different ones. The root means it is the one and only root of all evil. It did not say money was the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. That dollar bill can't help or hurt anybody. But when a person loves it and covets it, boy, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It is the root of all evil. You say, well, it didn't make Adam and Eve sin in the Garden of Eden. It didn't say sin. It said evil in the world. The love of money is the root of it. And that was at the time 1 Timothy was written, not in Genesis chapter 2. So, the strange thing about money is, the more you get of it, the more you want. If a man's got $500,000, he wants to work toward that million. If a person gets a million, they want that second million. And then many of them go on to become a billionaire. Now, did you know that it is a known fact that when a person has a lot of money, they have more headaches and more problems worrying about all that money and wind up being less happy than they were before they ever got it? Now, that ought to make all us poor people in here feel mighty good this morning. You know what the problem with this sermon is going to be this morning? You ain't going to believe about the next 10 minutes. You're going to be sitting there saying, "Foot, if I had $1 million, I'd be happy." But did you know that a great man, Andrew Carnegie, many years ago said, "Millionaires seldom smile"? Do you know it's a known fact that some rich people are very seldom happy? Very few people who have a lot of money don't let their money possess them and still keep the priorities correct and stay and live a happy life. Yeah, let me show you the difference. Here a man says, "Boy, I want $1 million. I want $1 million. Do you know how much a million is? A million is 10 hundred thousand. Now, if you have $100,000 and you take $10,000, that is $1 million. That's a lot of money. And brother, as you know, you do take a fellow like Michael Jordan, for example, who makes probably close to $25 million a year. Over 20 times as much money as the President of the United States playing basketball. And so you take this man like this, he has 25 million. 1 million is 10,100,000. Then we have people like Howard Hughes and people like that who are what we call billionaires. Now, did you know the difference? A lot of times we think that a billion is just one step up from a million. That a million's right here and a billion's right here. Oh no, a billion. Let me just take just a minute or two and tell you the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire. Are you listening? A billion is 10,100,000,000. So a billion relation to a million is the same ratio as a $10 bill to one penny. $1 million in $1,000 bills. Listen to this. If you had $1 million this morning and you stacked it up in $1,000 bills, somebody gave you $1 million, it's all $1,000 bills, the stack would be 8 inches high. If you had $1 billion in $1,000 bills, the stack would be 600 feet high. That's a pile of dough, son. That's taller than the Washington Monument. Of $1,000 bills. Listen to the illustration. If a man gave his wife $1 million and said, "You can go shopping now, honey, and you spend $1,000 a day shopping," she would come back 3 years later. That's the way to get rid of her for 3 years, boys. Give her $1 million. Tell her to spend $1,000. Now you think about that. Now you ladies could handle that, couldn't you? Could you handle that, lady? You reckon you could spend $1,000 a day? I've known some that can push them grocery carts through the grocery store at speeds of over $75 an hour. That's right. That boy, you go around through there and you're the first thing you know, you've done racked up $100. Now, I believe you ladies could handle that. I believe you could. $1,000 a day. But now listen. Listen. If a man let his wife go shopping, spend $1,000 a day, she wouldn't come back 3 years nearly if she spent $1 million. If that same man gave his wife $1 billion and said, "Here, go spend $1,000 a day," she would not come back for 3,000 years. Now think, now brother, you think about that. Think about Howard Hughes. You think about the fellow that owns, what's his name, Walmart man? Sam. You think about people like that. You could spend $1,000 a day for 3,000 years, folks, before you run out. What in the world? would a person do with all that? I'm telling you what, that's the difference. If you stood over a hole and you dropped $20 bills in a hole every minute, 24 hours a day, it would take 95 years to throw in $1 billion. 24 hours a day, every minute, drop in a $20 bill. Now, I know Pac-Man machines have got that in them. Ten fellas stand there all day. Feed them slot machines. Feed them things. And they don't realize how that's melting up. Stand there 95 years and you done spent $1 billion. They say that millionaires seldom smile. Vanderbilt, the great millionaire, said the care of $200 million is too great for any man. You wouldn't think the Bible would use a word like sorrowful to describe a man as rich. But the rich young ruler in the days of Jesus Christ, the Bible said he went away sorrowful. He wasn't happy. Some of the happiest people you'll ever meet in your life are people that just live week to week and barely have enough to get by on. Live up in the mountain somewhere that are at peace with God, peace with their fellow man, and lay down in bed at night and turn their face up toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. You know, a lot of times a lot of folks say, well, I can buy this, I can buy that, I can buy this, and I can buy that, and I can buy this, and I can buy that, but it doesn't satisfy them. You know what the Bible said? It said the love of money is the root of all evil. A man that sets his heart on money will be disappointed whether he gets it or whether he doesn't. They say people steal for money. People sell drugs for money. Drugs are smuggled in the United States. You know why? The love of money. You know why alcohol is made and sold? The love of money. Do you know why prostitution is prevalent in America? The love of money. You know why Playboy is a multi-million dollar a year business? The love of money. Those girls, most of them don't enjoy that perverted lifestyle. They feel cheap. They feel dirty. They feel used. But the love of money overcomes their morals and their desire to do right. Families fall apart because of the love of money. Friends become enemies because of the love of money. A lot of Christian friends that used to be good friends now are enemies because of a dispute over money. The love of money is the root of all evil, and because of it. You know, they said one time somebody made this famous painting. They put it up on the wall, and it was a mad rush of people like this. And there was a big crowd of people, and they were all, this gold, great big gold coin was rolling down the road, and everybody was chasing it like that. And it had this one man on a horse, and he was chasing it, and his wife was down here pulling at his breeches leg like this, saying, don't leave me. And he was trampling people under the horse's feet, and they were bleeding, and he was leaving his wife in the ditch and everything, going after that gold piece. And that is a picture of what is going on in this world. People will stop at nothing. They don't care how many people they have to trample over or hurt or bruise along the way as they are mad pursuit after the almighty dollar. Judas sold the Lord Jesus Christ, the worst sin in history, before 30 pieces of silver, the love of money. But let me say thirdly this morning, quickly, I'm going to talk about the limitations of money. There's some things money won't do, friend. Bible said in Proverbs 11 and verse number 14 the Word of God tells you there in Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. And verse 4 said, riches profit not in the day of wrath. In other words, a someday coming that all the money in the world will not benefit you. First thing I'll say about it is money cannot buy satisfaction. Money cannot buy peace. Money cannot buy happiness. When the stock market crashed in the 20s, they were blowing their brains out. They were jumping off buildings in New York. They were doing everything because they thought that money would do it. In 1923, the world's greatest financial tycoons had a meeting in Chicago. They were the absolute idols of the youth of America. One of them's name was Charles Schwab. He was a president of a steel company. Richard Whitney was the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Albert Fall was the president on the president's cabinet. Jesse Livermore of Wall Street. Leon Frazier was the president of the International Bank. Ivor Krugler was there also. Now, you know what happened to those same men? People thought they are the greatest in the country. Little boys thought, I want to grow up to live like them. Several years later, they checked back on those same men. Richard Whitney or Charles Schwab died broke. Richard Whitney of the president of the New York Stock Exchange wound up in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall wound up in prison. Jesse Livermore wound up committing suicide. Leon Frazier wound up committing suicide. Ivor Krugler wound up committing suicide. Henry Ford, that great man, said after he became rich and had factories all over the country, he said, I was happier when I was doing a mechanic's job day by day working for a living than I am now with all this wealth. It becomes such a headache. You have to have lawyers and everybody's hitting you up for donations and all of this stuff. That money does not, will not make you happy. If you're trying to make a lot of money to make yourself happy, you're barking up the wrong tree, friend. You're barking up the wrong tree. The Bible says riches make themselves wings. You know what that means? Right when you think you've got them. That's why they got an eagle on them, the back of them. They're getting ready to fly away, bud, and leave you right where they found you. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, you know what the apostle told a man? This old boy tried to buy the power of God. He thought, I'll just give you some money. Give me this power that I may. You know, there's some people think they can just buy their way through life. You ever met anybody like that? They think, well, I got enough money to take care of this. What's that? Well, I got enough money to take care of that. Well, what about this? I got enough money. I know the judge. I know his cousin. I can buy my way out of this. Let me tell you something, friend. You're going to run up and get something one of these days. You ain't going to buy your way through. You're going to hit something one of these days. You ain't going to buy the Lord off. The Bible said in Acts 8 and verse 20, thy money perish with thee because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You don't buy the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something else. God is not impressed with how much material things you've got. God don't look at you by the size of your bank account. In the sight of the Lord, we're all the same, and God views us as sinners needing a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. By the way, that's one reason why I like for our church. If you ever notice church, there's some churches that are just for a certain class of people. People say, well, all rich people go there. Well, poor people go there. All that. That's not the way a church is supposed to be. Church is a place where a rich man and a poor man can sit down right side by side. A church is a place where somebody can sit down right here who's a millionaire, and then some of these little kids over here on these first few rows that come in on our buses this morning can sit with maybe not even a home to go to and worship God together as things level in the sight of God. When you walk in these doors here, you're all the same. Nobody's special. Nobody's favorite. Nobody's great. Nobody's small. We're all the same here in the sight of God Almighty. Now, I'm telling you this morning, that's what money can't do. Money can't buy you salvation. Money can't buy you security at death or the judgment. They said this one old millionaire, he had his hand full of $100 bills, and he was grabbing them, and he was dying, and he's clutching them like that because he didn't want his family to get them. And life finally went out of him, and his nephew walked over there and picked them out of his hand. Turned around and walked out. They say, Billy Sunday told of a man who gathered all of his stocks and bonds, his cash, his mortgages. He put them all into a big trunk and took a gun and forbid any of his family to come in. They couldn't get his money. A little bit later, it got quiet in the room and they found him dead, stretched across his trunk in his underwear, where he'd tried to protect that fortune. You know how much of it he took with him? Not one red cent. He left it all behind. Money can't do everything. Money can't go with you across Jordan to buy your way into heaven. You must be born again, the Bible says. Benjamin Franklin said, money never made a man happy, nor will it. Instead of filling a vacuum, it makes one. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know something? There's a lady, woman up north many years ago called Grace Metalius. She started writing an old dirty novel about incest and adultery and things like that. And their book caught on and she got famous over it. That book became known as Peyton Place. And she got rich. She went through two unhappy marriages. Broke up another man and his wife or something like that. Went through a miserable life and became an alcoholic. Left her estate to some of her family. And when that woman died as a millionaire, 25 people came to her funeral. And the preacher only mentioned her name one time when he said, "May Grace rest in peace." It's reported that 11 millionaires went down with the Titanic the night it went down. Didn't do them a bit of good. They might have been a poor beggar on that boat who worked for a living scrubbing floors. The rich man went down the same time he did. 11 millionaires went down with the Titanic. One of them had $300,000 worth of jewelry and cash on the boat. And left it laying there and picked up three oranges to try to stay alive and eat. I'm telling you, there's coming a day for everybody here when all the money in the world is not going to be what you need, and it's not going to mean one thing to you. It's not going to mean, it's limited. It's limited. It can be used right. You can use it for the glory of God. But I tell you something. It ain't going to buy you through. I heard about this man who is a legend, and a fairy came to him, and he told the fairy, he said, I'll grant you a wish. And he said, "Oh, I'd like to see the newspaper. I want to see how my business deals turn out. Show me the newspaper 1 year from today." So the fairy goes, boom, and the newspaper comes up, and the man says, "Oh, thank you." And he turns right to the stock market, and he sees that his stock came in and his gamble was right. And he said, "Whoopee, I'm a millionaire. I'm worth $15 million. And he is so happy, but he turned the page to the obituaries. And he said, "I died 2 days ago. Died 2 days ago." That's why Ezekiel chapter 7 said the rich men one of these days are going to cast their gold, silver in the streets. That's why the Bible said in Revelation 6:15, the rich men hid themselves in rocks and dens and cried out for the wrath of God that's coming on. That's why James 5:1 said, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." Thank God this morning you can have more than what money can buy through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you put all your faith and your trust in the economy and your bank account and all that, you messed up, friend. That stuff's going to let you down. You know what you need to do? You need to say, "Lord, I'm going to put you first in my life, and I'm going to honor you first. Because you're the one I'm going to face one of these days. And all these things will be added unto you." Don't let money rule and ruin your life. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I don't know really how to give an invitation.
after a message like this, but if you would just pray with me just a minute. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning who does not know for a fact that their faith and trust has been put in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this will be the morning when they'll come and say, "Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Maybe, Lord, there'll be somebody heard this message, or maybe hear it on tape or radio or somewhere, and Lord, all they've been doing is going after money, and all they think about is making money, and all they can think about is the dollar bill. Lord, help them realize they're going to be disappointed. Help them realize that it makes itself wings. And Lord, help them realize it profits not in the day of wrath. Help them realize it can't buy security, can't buy happiness, can't buy love, can't buy a home. It can buy a house, but not a home. Can buy a dog, but can't make him wag his tail. Dear God, help us to realize and get our priorities straight. Help us as Christians to honor you with our tithes, our offerings, and do what you want us to do with our money. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless now in this invitation. I don't know who you spoke to. I don't know why you laid this message on my heart, but I pray for whoever it was for, that the target would be hit, that the job would be accomplished, and the mission taken care of, and it won't return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're